This is First Up. Every morning, come and hang on First Up. The only show that brings the bang. It's First Up.
You're listening to First Up on TSN 1050.
This is First Up.
You ain't first, you're last.
Woo-wee, a snowy morning in the city of Toronto. Man, is it coming down out there, and so are the tears of Dallas Cowboys fans. Welcome in to First Up on this Monday morning. Aaron Karolnik, Carlo Koliakovo, Coco, I'm sure you're looking outside right now as I am. Ooh, man, if you're out there, drive safe, drive slow, because it is not a pleasant morning.
Well, fortunately, buddy, I'm not looking outside because I am in my basement and I don't have a window out here. And but I knew it was going to be one of those big snowy days because they were calling for a snow day today on the what is supposed to be the return back to school for kids. So, maybe on break I'll get a chance to maybe go. Take a look at what the weather is.
Take my word for it. Take my word for it. There's a lot of snow out there. Our boy 20 Fingers had to drive in to the studio. We're all working remotely. And listen, he's like a modern-day hero. Like that's how accurately I would describe his role here at TSM, because without 20 Fingers making the trek into our – oh, man, you just appeared on our Zoom chat, and I'm not liking what I'm seeing.
It's not good, eh?
What do you not like?
A lot of bills. Very jarring. Very jarring to see the Bills hat, the Bills tattoo across your face, the Viagra you just took.
Yes.
Your Bills jersey. Yeah. A lot of snow. We'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys.
It's Victory Monday, buddy. What do you expect?
It is Victory Monday in the Koliakovo household. And what a weekend, man. What a weekend in sports. I mean, I feel like we say it every Monday. And just the NFL. I mean, there were some bad games. I mean, some non-competitive games. I think the Sunday night or the Chiefs and the Steelers was not close. The Bucs-Eagles was not close.
It's absolutely horrendous. Can we start with the Steelers and Kansas City? I blame the Indianapolis Colts, the LA Chargers, and the Vegas Raiders for that disgrace of a game that we had to watch yesterday. Because the fact that we actually were blessed as NFL fans to watch Ben Roethlisberger play in a playoff game again,
blessed,
was the most painful thing I've ever seen. Honest to God. Like, credit to Pittsburgh. For the first, I would say, 25 minutes of that game, they gave themselves a little bit of hope that they might make the game competitive. And if they had half a quarterback, they probably could have taken advantage of that game, because that defense showed up. The defense showed up and at least gave Pittsburgh a tiny little bit of hope that maybe they could make it competitive, cover the spread, or maybe sneak out a massive win. But Ben Roethlisberger, oh my God, thank God he's off, riding off into the sunset. God bless him and the amazing career that he had playing football. Mm-hmm. But we are blessed that we never have to watch him play quarterback again.
Agreed. That was painful. But we knew that, like, going into the game. Like, we all thought that Pittsburgh would destroy KC, and that's exactly what happened.
In fact, would destroy Pittsburgh, you mean?
What did I say?
Pittsburgh would destroy KC.
At 6:05, I can barely. I was up late, and I'll tell you the story about the. I guess you saw my tweet.
We were up late together, buddy.
Oh man, was I sweating out the end of that game? So you're talking about how terrible it was. I was dialed into every single second of it. But yeah, Mahomes was just masterful, shredding Pittsburgh's defense. 30 for 39, 404 and 5 touchdowns, just killing them. You know, Mahomes has 14 TDs in 3 career games against Pittsburgh now. Just kills them. Tomlin must wake up in the middle of the night with nightmares of Patrick Mahomes torching his team.
Don't blink, because he'll cut your eyelids off.
Yeah, you know, exactly. But now KC advancing to the divisional round, where I think everybody on the planet is just so excited for.
Oh my God!
Next Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. Bills at Chiefs. The Chiefs are 2.5-point favorites in that one. And how could you just be counting down the seconds?
Right. It's the game everybody's basically planned for, right? You talk about going into the season, what the AFC Championship was last year when the Bills ran out of gas in Arrowhead and got handed a lesson against the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, what did the Bills do in the offseason? They prepared. They built their lineup to play against KC. Offensively, defensively, by improving the pass rush. You saw it in their matchup this year, early on in the season, where the Bills took it to the Chiefs. This is going to be an unbelievable matchup. And I'm not necessarily sure how I feel about it, because you got to love what you saw of the Bills on the weekend. Just no mercy.
Perfection.
Laying the beat down in the most perfect way against Bill Belichick, who everybody wants to proclaim as the god of coaching for football. And it was the most satisfying game for me as a Bills fan, and I would speak on behalf of a lot of Bills fans by saying this. The fact they ran up the score on the New England Patriots was 20-plus years of heartbreak, frustration, hate. You name any adjective that you want to say about how we feel about the New England Patriots. That was all built up into one game. It what was most the dominating, most perfect beatdown that you could want to see from a Bills team to a Patriots. And they did it in a playoff game, which was... And you remember all the concerns and question marks people had going into the game? Oh, the weather, the wind, Josh Allen, sleeves, Viagra,
it wasn't that bad.
Whatever it is.
It was a little cold. It wasn't that
bad.
There was no wind.
They came out on the first possession of the game and they said, we are not going to let anything bother us. We are going to beat the crap out of these New England Patriots. And they did.
Mm-hmm. Did they? Well, you talk about beating the crap. I mean... This is something we have never seen before. Like it was
never.
That level of offensive execution. The NFL's quote-unquote first-ever perfect offensive game.
Yes.
No punts, no picks, no fumbles, no field goals, touchdowns on every single drive. And they
seven
did it against crusty old Belichick.
Seven possessions, seven touchdowns. Never been done before. In the NFL.
It was amazing. No, it was, like, I was shocked. Listen, yeah. I thought, as we talked about on Friday, I thought the Bills were going to win the game.
Yes.
But I thought it was going to be very close. I thought it would be a field goal game, and I was shocked. Listen, I think everybody was shocked at the way that, like, the Patriots were a top five defense in the NFL this year. It's not like they were
Bills
some
shredded
scrubs.
Them.
And they got destroyed. They got torched. And I there's some great Belichick sound, of course, and some of the stories that emerged from that game, I mean, we talked so much about the Bart Scott comments about Viagra, and
right.
Who knows what Josh Allen did or
dildo
didn't
on the field! Dildo on
dildo,
the field!
Dildo on the field. Ryan Fitzpatrick in the crowd.
Oh,
what the hell is going on in Buffalo? Wild, wild night in Buffalo, and the Bills travel to KC on Sunday night for a game that none of us can wait for.
Arod, get on the mic.
One of us can wait for. We'll bring in Arod a little bit later because we're up against the clock right now. Arod will have plenty of time to, I don't know, wallow in his self-pity, I suppose, as the resident Patriots.
He looks
fan
pissed
of the program.
This morning. He looks really pissed this morning.
I'm sure Arod, you know, that game was over pretty quick. He's good to go now. Listen, Arod had 20 years of delight. You know, he's good.
Yes.
He's good. I don't think he had too high of expectations for this year's team, and certainly that was put on full display. But clearly, Coco, the biggest story from the weekend yesterday was what happened between the Dallas Cowboys
absolutely.
And the San Francisco 49ers. The draw. The Dak draw with 14 seconds left.
The and Joe Judge QB sneak is what it
if
was.
If you didn't see it, I don't know where you've been... what you've been doing. You've been living under a rock, but we'll play you the audio. We'll tell you what happened, who's at fault, and what will the fallout be for the Dallas Cowboys as they are eliminated from the playoffs in the first round. This is Karolnik and Koliakobo. You're listening to First Up on a snowy Monday morning. This is TSN 1050.
Prescott in the gun, runs up the middle to the 30, to the 25 and slides. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Did he spike it in time? Didn't get it spiked in time.
They haven't said anything official.
That's the end of the game.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Oh, man.
Pain. Haven't said anything official. That's the end of the game.
Nice.
Wow, what a finish between the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers yesterday. Welcome back to First Up. Aaron Kurolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. A very, very snowy day here in the GTA in Toronto and elsewhere in Southern Ontario. Text us at 10:50:50. I mean, not if you're driving in. You want to focus on the road. Tell us about your commute, what you've got going on at home, because... yeah, buddy, not looking good outside, that's for sure. Not looking good for the Dallas Cowboys. Well, they're done. They are out of the playoffs after a play design. And listen, we have been fortunate enough to learn. It was Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, who called this play where Dak Prescott, with 14 seconds remaining in the game, Dallas had no timeouts, takes his quarterback draw in the middle of the field, kind of slides in there, tries to get back and spike the ball so Dallas would have time for a Hail Mary. Unfortunately for he and the Dallas Cowboys, not enough time to execute the play call and get that spike, and Dallas loses in a very, very wild finish. I think everybody was watching that game screaming at their TV, "What are you doing?" And ultimately, no one has any idea what they were doing.
Could you imagine watching that game in the same room as James Duthie and Pierre LeBrun?
I don't think Duthie is nearly as big a Niners fan as LeBrun is a Cowboys fan. Like, I think it's
a pretty big
difference. But
you're probably right, because I was texting with LeBrun yesterday during and after the game, and this is one of the most telling things I've ever heard him say. "You have no idea how much I love the Cowboys," is what he says.
Well, exactly. Exactly. He says, this is something that's a little bit different.
He says, like, that was probably the most gut-wrenching play and loss he has had to endure in his lifetime as a Cowboys fan. And you can imagine the complete opposite for Duthie, who was basically saying, "Let the clock run out! Let the clock run out! He didn't spike it! He didn't spike it!" Obviously, we'll get to JD. We'll ask him on Thursday when he's joined us on our show what he was going through during that moment. But look, you want to sit there and say that it was Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, that called the play. But this is directly the fault of Mike McCarthy. Because what is the one thing Mike McCarthy has been criticized for all season as a member of the coach of the Dallas Cowboys? It's the complete mismanagement of clock management throughout the game. I mean, the timeouts, the incompetent awareness of the clock when making crucial decisions. And he even commented after the game when asked about what was up with the play call, and he said, "Do we have the audio clip?
Why don't we play what he said?
Let's listen to what he said because it's better hear from him than me."
"We call thresholds and, you know, the field position, what your line you're at, and what you're trying to get to too, based on, you know, defense that they were playing. They were in a sideline defense, so they were protecting the sidelines, and so that was the best option to be able to get the ball. I mean, it's like anything else. Do you want to be running the Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or you want to be running five verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision. You know, it's just like anything. It's the execution between us and the officiates." Putting the ball obviously wasn't in tune, wasn't, you know, we shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there. Is that the quote you're looking for?
He mentions the officiating, and there was the officials like sprinting back because Dak was trying to give the ball to the center immediately before the official touched the ball so they could snap it more quickly. But that's not how it works in the NFL. The referee needs to touch the ball. And place it himself. It's not like the offense can just go ahead and do whatever they want without the referee's involvement. So that's what McCarthy's referring to with regards to the execution.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that is on Kellen Moore and McCarthy to make sure that play is executed properly. Or that they know how to execute the play.
So this is the point I was leading towards, is every team's identity is a reflection of their coach. Okay? Now, if Mike McCarthy is saying that this is a play they practiced and they felt confident doing in those situations of the game, well, it's Mike McCarthy's responsibility to make sure that the players understand the details of the game that goes on in making that play. Like, it, on the broadcast, they kept referencing Larry Fitzgerald, Larry Fitzgerald. There was a play, I don't remember the significance of the game, where Larry Fitzgerald made a first down, and when he made it, instead of showboating the play he made, he runs up and sprints the ball to the referee so he can spot it so the Arizona Cardinals can clock the ball. Well, why is Dak Prescott so brain dead on the play not to understand what he needs to do in that play so that they can have the execution to clock it and give themselves one more chance? And this was a reflection of the year that the Dallas Cowboys had, because it wasn't just that one play. It was more than a dozen plays that they made that were self-inflicted that obviously ended up costing them in the most crucial situations. And who does that fall on? The coach. That's the way the coach coaches the team, because those are the details that the coach needs to preach to the players.
And let's be honest here. I mean, the reason the Dallas Cowboys lost wasn't because of the final play or anything like that. They still would have needed a 25-yard touchdown pass as time expired to win the game.
Right.
So,
but they would have given themselves a chance.
They would have given themselves a chance for sure. But let's be honest here. They had 14 penalties, and we'll get to Dak's clip about the referees in just a moment and some of the things that are going on after the game. They also just got gashed by Elijah Mitchell and Deebo Samuel on the ground. They could not stop the run for their lives, and that's a major problem as well. And that's something we expected from San Fran, who has a very potent ground game. Deebo Samuel, I mean, what a player. Just a dominant performer on the ground. I mean, this guy's a receiver who runs the ball as well as any running back in the NFL right now. He's incredible.
He's incredible.
That touchdown run he had was amazing. He had some just remarkable plays. That kid is such a great player. And honestly, one of the most entertaining players in the NFL, without a doubt. But, man, it's another tough exit for Dallas. 11 straight playoff appearances without reaching the conference championship. Right. Longest in NFL history. Like and I hate to give Jesse Pollock, our buddy, credit, but it's not like the Leafs, because Leafs haven't gotten into the first round. Like, forget getting to the conference championship, but it's a similar idea where you make the playoffs every year, but there's no real progress.
Well, it's not just that. It's the attention and the spotlight those two teams get in their leagues, right? The Leafs get a lot of attention. They get a lot of hype because of who they are and where they play and, you know, some of the teams that they build. And they just, the hype doesn't meet the winning that is expected with that type of expectation. So, and you can say the same thing of the Cowboys, but let's be honest. That game was only close because Jimmy Garoppolo made it close.
Oh.
Because, you know, if he doesn't turn that ball over late in the fourth quarter, the Cowboys aren't even in this game, and they have zero momentum to even tie it.
Jimmy G made some bad plays. He overthrew Brandon Ayuk on that one play down the sideline.
Right.
That would have made him huge for them. And like, he was wide open. That would have made
it. That was on a third down, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, you're right. Jimmy G wasn't very good yesterday at all. And he was probably, you're right. It was the ground game for San Fran. It was the penalties for Dallas.
Right.
And Jimmy G was kind of the ultimate kind of keep the seesaw to keep it close.
Right. And the frustration, and I'm not even a Cowboys fan, but watching that game, the frustration of being a Cowboys fan is just watching that offense operate. They have incredible talent on that team, but they don't utilize it properly. And this is the criticism that goes behind Mike McCarthy being the coach of that team, where, remember, Jerry Jones built this team around Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott, because it was the run game that always made this team as good as it was. And the stubborn play calling by Kellen Moore or Mike McCarthy, whoever you want to blame, to refusingly not run the ball.
Zeke's not good anymore, man. Zeke's washed.
Regardless if it's Zeke, Pollard,
Pollard is who you give carries to. He's way better than Zeke. And that's the thing I kept on thinking when I was watching this game. Zeke is playing on a torn PCL, which we learned after the game.
Yes.
That's not the most serious of knee injuries. Clearly, he's fine, is able to play on it. Tony Pollard averaged a yard and a half more per carry than Zeke Elliott. So the fact that they keep on handing the ball to Zeke, keeps plodding along for 2, 3, 4 yards, when you have one of the most explosive backs in the NFL being completely underutilized, is a colossal mismanagement of your resources.
But if you look at Mike McCarthy's coaching resume, even going back to Green Bay, this guy never liked offense that centered around running the ball. Like, look at the failed attempts they had at running back in Green Bay. Thank God they had Aaron Rodgers to even give Mike McCarthy any type of success. I mean, granted, he even won a Super Bowl behind that, but you saw the success the 49ers were having yesterday. It was because they were establishing the run and controlling the ball on offense, keeping the pressure off of Jimmy G. And Jimmy G, when the time mattered the most, minus the fourth quarter when he threw that interception, would be there to make a play. Dak Prescott was sitting back in the pocket, hit 43 pass attempts. 43 pass, and granted, a lot of those were in the fourth quarter.
They were playing from behind.
Playing from behind.
A lot, yeah.
But in the third quarter, it was a one-possession game at one point, and they were still sitting back and allowing San Francisco to play pass option and basically make life difficult on Dak.
Yeah, I mean, it was a wild game. There's no doubt about it, and the questions surrounding the Dallas Cowboys will persist throughout the offseason. Will they fire McCarthy? I would be very surprised, and Jerry Jones
asked about it. Darren Orlovsky said that play at the end of the game was a fireable offense.
Well, if that's the case, they should fire Kellen Moore, because it was not McCarthy who called that play. It was Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, who it sounds like is going to get some major interest from the Minnesota Vikings and other teams, and you wonder their owners are sitting around watching that play call. If you're like, yeah. But that's the whole thing. You know, like you talk about Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, who's been reported to be at the top of some teams' lists. Miami Dolphins, perhaps Jacksonville, perhaps other teams. You know, you see that offensive clinic that they put on, be like, oh my God, we got to get this guy. And then you see Kellen Moore, who had an incredible regular season for Dallas. I mean, they were the number one offensive team in the NFL this year. Most points, all the good stuff they did all year. And then you see that play call, and you're just like, oh, man, I can't hire this goof. In any case, unbelievable stuff. The NFL, unrivaled, even in some of the bad games or less competitive games this weekend. Like the Cincy-Las Vegas game was competitive for sure. I mean, Derek Carr had the opportunity in the final seconds to tie the game, and unfortunately for him, they were unable to do it. And we'll get to Zach Taylor, by the way. I don't know if you heard what he did after the game, but super cool stuff from Zach Taylor, the coach the Cincinnati Bengals. So I'll tell you about that a little bit later. We'll have Mark Dominic, our NFL analyst. He'll join us at 8:45. Jack Armstrong, I'm sure. I can't wait to hear what Jack was doing during that Bucks-Raptors game on Saturday, which was an awesome game.
Unbelievable.
But Jack must have just been watching, because we know how big a fan of the Bills that Jack is. Yeah. He's just sitting there with one eye on both screens, just like, oh, my God, I can't believe what we're seeing. This is incredible. So Jack will join us at 9:10, and Sal Capaccio from WGR in Buffalo will join us at 9:30 as well. What a weekend. We'll tell you about the Leafs game coming up on the other side on Saturday night. Hey, you talk about wild finishes.
Wild.
The Leafs game was no exception to that. Auston Matthews, woo, another goal on the road. That's 10 in a row. He's up there with some legends, some Hall of Famers. So the full recap of what we saw from the Leafs in St. Louis on the other side as First Up continues. You're listening to TSN 1050.
Horner and Scandella will send it back, but the Leafs are onto the puck again. Centering pass and a shot by Mikheyev. Where is it? Is it in the net? It is in the net. Mikheyev has scored. What a delayed reaction that is. And the Leafs have taken the lead 6-5.
It was reminiscent of, was it Patrick Kane in 2010 in the Cup Final, where
that's
no
right.
One knew, is that puck in? Where is it? Is that a goal? And hopefully for the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's something that happens in the playoffs and not in game, 37 of the regular season. But in any case, Ilya Mikheyev, the game-winning goal on Saturday night for the Toronto Maple Leafs, who beat the St. Louis Blues 6-5 in St. Louis. Should mention, the Blues 12-0-1. In their past 13 home games until Toronto rolled into town. And the Leafs, of course, made it interesting. I mean, they get out to a 3-1 lead. And you know, of course, they give the lead up back and forth. Auston Matthews scores to make it 5-5. And on the power play, again, his 25th goal this season. You know, he has 18 goals in his last 16 games, does Auston Matthews.
Wow.
It's preposterous what this guy is doing right now. And he's just one goal back of Leon Draisaitl for the league lead now. He is just on fuego. But Mikheyev scoring again. Talk about being on fire. He has been incredible. in the first seven games of his season with 5 goals and 2 game winners. The Leafs 6-5, and it was one of those games where it was wide open. Jack Campbell did not have his best performance by any stretch, but for
it's gonna happen.
Well, that's exactly it, right? I mean, it's about time the Leafs hooked him up with a W as opposed to the other way around, right?
Right. And the thing too is, like, even though Jack Campbell probably didn't play his best game, the team in front of him found a way to get him a win.
No doubt.
And ultimately that's all that matters. I mean, you know, he made some big saves late in the game, you know, to preserve the win. There was a scramble, you know, going on for the in front of the net for 30 seconds, had to make some big saves. So even though he let in 5 goals, like, when the saves needed to be made late in the game, he made them. And that's all that matters. And, you know, you talk about being excited and watching a hell of a game between two really good teams, like the Blues.
Two cup contenders?
I don't know about that, but playoff contenders for sure.
Playoff 100%. Contenders. Oh, yeah.
Yes, top teams in both conferences. I mean, the Blues, it is amazing to see the steps that team has taken with their young players. I mean, you got O'Reilly there. You got Tarasenko there. Didn't even play. Perron didn't even play. But the line of Brandon Saad, who's a newcomer this year, they signed in the offseason, Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou. Wow. Those guys can make some plays.
They were buzzing.
They were buzzing. But credit to the Maple Leafs, man. I mean, you talk about the return of Mitch Marner. He made an impact on the scoreboard, a goal and assist. Pierre Engvall coming back into the lineup with 2 assists. John Tavares hitting the score sheet. Timothy Liljegren getting his first goal as a Maple Leaf. Round of clicks for Timothy Liljegren, as they'd like to say. All in all, you know, it was exactly what we wanted on a Saturday night. A very entertaining game that if you had the 2 TV set up and you're watching that game and the Bills game, quite the satisfying night for...
Oh, yeah.
Mwah.
The offensive explosion. Well, yeah, it was the Koliakovo Bowl. We had the Mike Johnson Bowl when the Leafs took on the Arizona Coyotes, but Leafs Blues is the Koliakovo Bowl. It was the... probably the number one alumni of both teams, at least as far as I'm concerned. But you mentioned Mitch Marner's return. We know he was injured earlier in the year. He had the COVID absence as well, but he looked awesome. I thought he was the best player on the ice, certainly for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He had a goal and an assist. His goal, an absolute snipe coming in, and that was great to see because, you know, the talk leading up to that was how he hadn't scored a What was the stat? He hadn't scored a power play goal
in like 99 games or something. So it's 100 now, like, because he didn't score on Saturday. Yeah, 100 games with no power play goal. We're talking about Mitch Marner, one of the best playmakers in the game. And the guy plays a lot of power play. That's incredible. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's the stat? He hasn't scored a playoff goal in 18 games as well, but we'll get to that in April as well. But yeah, Marner did score a very nice goal, snipe, and he set up Austin Matthews behind the net. Woo, what a play, Gretzky-esque, in Gretzky's office, kind of dangling, and a beautiful pass to Matthews, who rifled it past Jordan Binnington. It was great to see the Austin Matthews-Mitch Marner connection keep on rolling, and I mentioned how Matthews now a goal in 10 consecutive road games, double digits for Austin Matthews.
Incredible.
Unprecedented. That's only been done twice in NHL history. Both 11 straight road games, Pavel Bure and Steve Yzerman. The only two guys who've done this. Like, you talk about just unprecedented levels of offensive productivity for Austin Matthews. It's crazy, man. And the Leafs don't play again till Wednesday. They're in New York against the Rangers. And, man, they must be happy not to be in Toronto right now with this massive snowstorm. But I don't see any reason why he doesn't make it 11 on Wednesday. I mean, this guy cannot be stopped. He had 5 shots on goal in the first period, did Austin Matthews. He is hunting for goals, and he's coming up with carcasses night after night.
You mentioned school and the weather, and I'm just seeing this meme that is sent to me. It's Stephen Lecce, the education minister. There's a quote saying him standing there like he's announcing a speech, and the quote is, "We're sending kids back to school on Monday." And then there's a picture of Mother Nature, and it says, "The hell you are."
Yeah, exactly. Stephen Lecce, my former Western classmate, by the way. So
really?
Shout out to him.
Wow, that's that says everything right there.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Actually, good dude. I actually like
him. Yeah, very good dude.
Not so much anymore. But in any case, great game for the Leafs. And as I said before, they're off until Wednesday when they take on the New York Rangers in NYC. Then they play the Islanders as well to conclude the six-game road trip. And then they're back in Toronto to take on the Anaheim Ducks. I think that game's going to happen in Toronto. I guess no one really knows. Depending, that is January 26th. That would theoretically be the end of the three-week lockdown, and we still don't have any clarification on if that will happen. I think we're all hopeful that it will.
Well, hey, if they stuck to their two-week school timeline, well, you've got to feel pretty good that maybe they'll stick to their three-week close timeline. But hey,
buddy,
this government. So
I really hope that's the case. And you know, I don't know.
We
what's
all
really
hope
going
that's
on
the case
with the Omicron and the man. It is the wind is howling out there, and the snow is pouring down. So again, if you're on the roads right now, and honestly, I hope you're not. Hope you're listening to the show on the iHeartRadio app. Via podcast, make sure to subscribe on Spotify and iTunes, but I hope you're not driving right now. If you are, again, stay safe because it is ugly out there. Don't be looking at your phones. Just be dialed into us. We'll carry you through the morning, and it's going to be a long commute for you.
Got lots to get into this morning.
We have so much to get into. We'll welcome in our producer, Arados Vondi, our Patriots super fan. We'll recap his weekend, which I'm sure was not as pleasant as yours, Coco. He is not wearing his Tom Brady jersey or his Mac Jones jersey or his Steve Belichick jersey. The mullet is gone from a rod, but he will join us on the other side. We'll do the morning scroll, and we'll get his reflections on a difficult weekend as a Patriots fan. Korolnik, Koliakovo, Osvandi on the other side. You're listening to First Up. This is TSN 1050. You're listening to First Up. This is the Morning Scroll. Aaron Korolnik and Carlo Koliakovo. We welcome in our producer, Arados Vondi, who took a little bit of a beating on our group chat on Saturday night. He's a big Patriots fan, a lifelong Patriots fan, so I imagine it was a little difficult to Rod. How are you feeling this Monday morning, my friend?
Bittersweet, bitter because obviously...
How is it sweet at all?
Well, you know, this is a team, to me, in the first year of a... not a long-term, but a short-term rebuild, right? All their free agents were in the first year. Mac Jones is a rookie quarterback. You know, Bill Belichick tried a different style of offense this year. The defense looked a little different. Obviously, they have a lot more holes to plug. So, you know, it's sweet that on the first year of a rebuild, they make the playoffs. But it's bitter because the way they lost not only brings up questions of personnel, but of effort, which is something we never asked a Bill Belichick team.
What about a question of coaching? Because I'm comfortable here on live radio to say that Bill Belichick is broken. You know why? Think about all of his greatness throughout his career. He's always found an answer to stopping something or someone. You know what he doesn't have an answer to? Stopping Josh Allen. And here's why. They played each other twice within the last 4 weeks. You want to know the numbers that Josh Allen has put up? 51 of 72 passing, 622 passing yards, 130 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns, and 80 combined points in 2 games. Bill Belichick is broken, and you know who the kryptonite is for that? Josh Allen. And the Buffalo Bills.
I wouldn't go that far, man. I'm sorry.
Definitely
but
not.
There was
definitely
a lot of broken tackles on Josh Allen. There was a lot of missed assignment. There was a lot of whiffs. Like, Bill Belichick's not out there tackling. It's not his fault. Dante Hightower.
But what does everybody praise Bill Belichick for?
Six Super Bowl rings.
Hold on a second. 6 Super Bowl rings. He had Tom Brady as his quarterback to help him win those Super Bowl rings.
Tom Brady had Bill Belichick as his head coach.
Everybody always says Bill Belichick is a genius. He'll find a game plan to break you down. I don't know who that moron was on social media saying that if you play Bill Belichick 3 times, he'll find a way to erase you in a game. Well, clearly he wasn't doing any erasing because he had no answer to stop the Buffalo Bills in any type of game plan that they designed to stop Josh Allen. If you sit there and think that I'm wrong, well, then you've got a problem too.
Man, I have.
This has happened before. Like, this isn't something new.
When has Bill Belichick ever been embarrassed like this before as a coach? When?
I forgot if it was the 12 or the 10 playoffs, but they got destroyed at home by the Baltimore Ravens.
Next year they came back and beat the Ravens.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
They've never been beaten this bad.
Wes Welker got injured in the final week of the season.
They have never been beaten this bad.
It was an awful night. Hold on. Okay, it was an awful night for the New England Patriots. They got blown out. But let's not relitigate Bill Belichick's legacy and ability to coach a football game. Relax. It's one game. Also, you're making literally everyone on who will listen to the show want to cheer for Kansas City and blow the doors off the Bills.
Like,
how? I have a $250. I have a $250 wager on
the Bills to win the Super Bowl. I want Casey to win. I just gave you the proof about him and the stats Josh Allen has put up against the Bill Belichick top five defense. Can't be stopped.
But you just said Bill Belichick is broken and washed up, and I don't agree with that.
I didn't say he's washed up. I said he's broken, and his kryptonite is Josh Allen.
You also don't know what kryptonite means.
Prove me wrong.
Josh Allen is broken and Bill Bet and his kryptonite. Like, first of all, you don't know what kryptonite is. Number one. You know?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what kryptonite is.
Where does kryptonite come from? Where does that reference come from?
Superman.
Oh, damn it. I'm surprised you got that. All right. In any case, great debate. We'll come back to it throughout the course of the morning. I don't think Belichick's broken at all. I think it was a horrendous performance from the New England Patriots. But we can't look at this in a vacuum. They had a pretty impressive season. By all things considered, Mac Jones,
rookie
who no one really expected much from.
They did.
And they got the doors blown off them by a vastly superior team. I think everyone was surprised at the way it went down, but the result's the same. You lose the game, you lose it by, 30 points, or you lose it by 2 points. You're out of the playoffs. That's exactly what the Patriots are. They're back to the drawing board. I can tell you one thing the Patriots need for sure, a clear, and they need this forever, a number one receiver for Mac Jones, a guy that he can go to and rely on, because Jacoby Myers and Kendrick Bourne and those two tight ends, I mean, you got to go out and get Mac Jones a top dog.
And I also think they need a stud pass rusher to team up with Matthew Judon, because zero sacks, zero tackles for a loss, that's just not going to fly. And we saw last night how important, good pass rushers are. T.J. Watt and Casey Hayward were the reason that the Steelers were in the game in that first quarter and a half.
Chris, our technical producer, I'm going to ask that you send me that picture of Carlo in the Chiefs jersey again, please, so I can make sure to tweet that out a couple of times this week ahead of Bills and
what are you accomplishing by doing that?
I don't really know where your allegiances are. I guess we'll find out on Sunday night. Bill,
you don't know where our allegiances are.
Are you a Bills fan or a Chiefs fan? I'm wearing a Bills hat and a Bills jersey this morning. I don't know. It's going to be tough. Oh, there it is.
You're just talking like an idiot right now.
Look at, you're not only wearing a Chiefs jersey, you're also wearing a Chiefs hat in that picture as well. It's an interesting one. I don't really know who you're a fan of. I guess it was the day before the Super Bowl,
and NFL Canada asked me to do a promo.
Sure, they did. You were there for that.
So
I don't. That's not how I recall.
That's not how you recall it.
I recall you being like, I love the Chiefs. I love the Browns too. That's something else you said.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say?
Everything factual. Go Chiefs. Oh, man, now I'm conflicted.
Why are you saying go Chiefs?
Because just the way you went about your criticism of Belichick, I didn't really appreciate it.
I gave you proof. It's not like I made it up. I gave you proof of why Josh Allen has been able to beat Bill Belichick.
Well, the Buffalo Bills have been able to beat Bill Belichick, but yes.
Oh, yes,
sure.
The Buffalo Bills. Okay, go ahead.
Well, Josh Allen is a member of the Buffalo Bills. He didn't do it by himself. Also,
I hope his
drug test comes back positive for Viagra, because that would be great to see
Mitch
Trubisky at Arrowhead this week.
Amazing.
So,
yes.
Anyways, we're burning too much energy. We need load management on the show. Chris, you failed as the
load
proprietor.
Management.
Alex McKechnie over there. Come on, help us out here. We're expending too much energy at 6:54 a.m. We've got many, many good pieces of content to get to. Many debates, heated arguments on this radio program. We've got Darren Dreger for Leafs Breakfast at 7:45. Mark Domnick will join us at 8:45. Can't wait to get Mark's thoughts and his preview of Bills and Chiefs. We've got a game. How many hours away? Can we fast forward to next Sunday night?
I can't wait for
this
matchup.
It's going to be truly incredible as we roll on here. This is First Up. Aaron Korolnik, Carlo Koliakovo, Rod Osbondy, 20 fingers, missioning in on a very snowy Monday morning. This is TSN 1050. This song is Informer by Snow, and yes, it is a snowy morning here in the greater Toronto area, all around southern Ontario. Drive safe if you're out there, and if you're
snow day, baby.
It is snow day for like basically everybody. The first day of return to school for the kids, like, ah, you know, it's not Omicron keeping us out of the schools. It is the weather. This is First Up. Darren Dreger will join us in about 45 minutes. Looking forward to chatting with Dregs about what's going on in Brooklyn, Ontario with the snow, and certainly the Toronto Maple Leafs. But some tweets coming in about our last segment, the Belichick debate. Our former intern, Johnny, stud future broadcaster.
Who's Johnny?
Job with us. Johnny, one of our former interns. Johnny Giunta. Forza Azzurri. Belichick has never been blown out in the playoffs. He posted the 33-14 win for the Ravens on January 10th, 2010. Shout out to Kingston Pete. You getting Carlo genuinely worked up this morning is great radio. I think he's worried about the Bills hitting the unfollow button. It's a reasonable idea. And out of
Bills
pocket 416.
The unfollow button? What the hell is that?
On you. That means the Bills would unfollow you after that picture with the Chiefs. Chiefs jersey and hat on. It's possible. The Bills might see that this morning
very
and
possible.
Be concerned.
Yeah.
And then out of
so
pocket
concerned.
416. That ran on Belichick was uncalled for. Let's go Chiefs. At Carlo Koliakvo made me hate the Bills. And listen, I empathize with that. Someone who I have joined Bills Mafia, but I'm considering becoming part of Chiefs Kingdom now after that rant
whatever.
On Belichick. So this
whatever. Rant on Belichick. I gave you guys legitimate stats, and I'm ranting on Belichick?
No, there is whatever. No Belichick slander on this program.
Truth hurts. Legends. You know what? The truth hurts. Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom line.
The truth hurts. The Bills won one game. Let's see how they do in Kansas City.
And it was an amazing game they won.
It was
20-plus years of pain delivered in one matchup. And you know what? Regardless of what the Bills do from now, I think most Bill fans would go home happy, considering that was a home game, and they got to see the Patriots get absolutely destroyed in that matchup. Absolutely destroyed.
Hold on. You're happy with the Bills' season now, just because they beat the Patriots at home? Like you're cool. If the season ended next Sunday,
you'd
be satisfied.
If the Bills found a way to lose to the Chiefs, which can obviously happen. Okay, I'm not sitting here and
for sure
and
they're underdogs. Yeah,
I'm not sitting here proclaiming that the Bills are going to steamroll through the Chiefs. But if there's one bright spot from this season that you could take away, it would be yes, the Buffalo Bills steamrolling the New England Patriots in a playoff game at home, 100%. You ask any Bills fan, and they would say the exact same thing.
All right, well we got a couple Bills fans on the show today. Jack Armstrong will join us at 9:10. Looking forward to chatting with Jack. And he's a very rational, you know, reasoned Bills fan. I'm looking forward to hearing his thoughts on the game and certainly the Toronto Raptors as well. So the second hour of First Up on the way. Ooh, what a heated, contentious hour it's been. And we've got three more coming
heated
your way
contention.
As
You're
First Up
idiot.
Rolls on. This is TSN 1050.